We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, which is proudly presented by Emprise Bank, your partner in possible. Coming up, the latest episode of KCSN Update, your daily Chiefs podcast and video from us here at KCSN. It's the headlines, rumors, stories, and stats people are talking about to get you through the day and caught up with all things Chiefs. Different guests each week with different perspectives. The latest episode of KCSN Update, proudly presented by DraftKings, begins now.
What's up, Chiefs Kingdom? This is KCSN Update presented by our good friends at DraftKings. I'm Tucker Franklin. As you know, on Thursdays, we go behind enemy lines, and now we got a great show lined up for you today with Benjamin Albright from the Broncos flagship station in Denver, KOA. Let's get right into it. I don't want to waste any of Ben's time. So, Ben, appreciate you joining me. How are you doing today with Broncos Chiefs just around the corner?
Well, thanks for having me. I'm doing pretty well. Sorry I'm doing this in the in the car. You know how it is being busy and all that. But enjoying life out here in Colorado, I guess, as best I can for having a football team that's struggling to put 10 points up most games these days. It's rough out here in Broncos country. We're long gone for the days of Peyton Manning. The Broncos thought that they were getting offensive improvement this year with Russell Wilson, but and Nathaniel Hackett. Unfortunately, that hasn't materialized. Still got an elite defense, but the offense has been historically bad.
Yeah, it has been, and we've talked a lot about the defense, a lot about the offense. Ben, we're gonna get your five things that you're kind of looking forward to in this game. Looking at whether it's matchups, systems, anything that you're looking forward to in this game. But before that, I kind of want to talk to you about how crazy this NFL season has been. If you look back at this year, everyone thought the AFC West was gonna be this conference that was, or this division that was so dominant, but and now you got the Jets over in the AFC East, and that conference looks, or that division looks tough as well. You got all kinds of craziness going on. The Lions and Vikings play this week, and it's hard to pick a winner in that game, which is unusual. So I want to get your thoughts kind of on the league as a whole this season, just kind of the crazy parity that's happened this year.
Well, I think that's the crazy thing. That's the great thing about the NFL is it does have parity. And, it's not just who looks better on paper. We play the games and all of a sudden we find out that some of our presuppositions were incorrect. The Detroit Lions are a competitive football team, the AFC West is not nearly as tough as probably everybody thought it was going to be. Now, one of the things I thought when everybody was bandying about, this summer, how good the AFC West was, I was like, well, if every team is good, then they're going to cannibalize each other and it's not going to be good. The problem was they weren't all good and they still cannibalized each other. So, it's Kansas City and everybody else in the AFC West right now. And, good for the Raiders for picking up a couple of wins recently. The Chargers look like they're floundering. And, of course, you guys are about to see the Denver Broncos this weekend, so you get a load of that. But, I love it. I love when the league throws us curveballs, when teams that aren't supposed to be good are good, because it makes it fun, makes it surprising, and not just sitting there like, oh, okay, Tom Brady's winning again, even though he came back and won again this past weekend.
Right. It's some things never change is what it seems like. But I think it's been really interesting, especially how things have developed. The Seahawks, especially after the trade, have looked like a competent football team and have looked like probably the toughest team left on the Chiefs schedule, if we're being honest. But the Chiefs getting the Broncos, Ben, as you mentioned, for the first time, it feels like this is really late for the Chiefs and Broncos to meet for the first time this season. They'll play again in another couple weeks. So it feels a little odd being this late. I guess what are your preliminary thoughts on this Chiefs-Broncos game?
Well, I think if you're the Denver Broncos, you're playing out the string right now. That's pretty tough. You're a three-win football team, and you're very impressive, to be honest. You have a lot of close losses. If you go back and look, the Broncos had just scored 18 points in every game. They'd be something like a one-loss football team. So, I think that if you're if you're the Broncos right now, it's been a massive disappointment. And the other thing I think is, if you're the Broncos, you can kind of put all your chips on this game. Breaking the streak against Kansas City has sort of been kind of the thing. Breaking this streak against Kansas City sort of been the rallying cry, I think, as they started to realize that, that this team is not going to get to the playoffs this year. So I think that could be a motivational ploy. If you're Nathaniel Hackett or Russell Wilson, you can say, look, we can still accomplish some things this year if we can do that. Now, do I feel like that's realistic? Probably not. But I do feel like, in terms of being a motivational ploy, that's probably the way you have to look at this game through the Denver Broncos, because you've got the three wins and you're not going anywhere.
Right. So let's get into it, Ben. Let's talk about the five things that you're looking forward to in this matchup, regardless of what they are, of Chiefs side, Broncos side. What are you looking for in this matchup? We'll start with your first thing.
Well, the defense. The defense is still playing lights out. It's still playing at an elite level, and seeing how well they hold up against Pat Mahomes, Andy Reid, and the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, that's the litmus test for every defense in the league, isn't it? Playing against the Chiefs. That's considered by far the best offense. Even when Buffalo's playing well, or Eagles doing what they're doing, Kansas City's still the gold standard. So measuring this defense and Ejiro Evero against Andy Reid, I think, is going to be fun. If you're just a football fan, I think it's going to be fun. Other things I'm looking for, the Broncos are perilously thin with depth. I mean, we're on the third string offensive tackle on both sides, the second string center. They're down to two running backs that were on practice squads on other teams. And then the receivers, Cortland Sutton's not going to play in this game. Jerry Jeudy's hobbled, and you got a bunch of undrafted free agent guys that are going to be out there. I kind of want to see these undrafted free agent guys. Brandon Johnson looked good camp. Jalen Virgil has all world speed if they just get him out there. So that's really one of the big things I'm looking for. So seeing how the protection holds up, seeing how this offense continues to build in another game with Kubiak as the play caller instead of Hackett, seeing the young guys, seeing how the defense holds up.
I'm really interested in this Broncos defense, because they are incredibly good. Patrick Surtain, incredible. They do trade Bradley Chubb earlier this season. And it seems like that there could be some frustration, especially between the two sides of the ball, with the defense and the offense not putting up some points. And have you seen any of that, that tension growing between the offense and defense?
Not much. There's some private, maybe slight undercurrents that is starting to get to that point, and I think this could be a breaking game for that. But overall, it really hasn't. The defense is just exasperated that they're out there putting out elite level performances. Like, what do we got to do to win football games? You hold a team to 10 points and intercept their quarterback twice and still come away losing a football game like they did last week in Baltimore. It feels like that's got to be something that just wears on your soul, after a while. So I do believe that there's private, I don't want to say animosity, but privately there's some frustration. They won't let that. They're too classy to let that spill out publicly. Those guys in the locker room, too classy to their teammates to let it spill out publicly thus far. That doesn't mean there won't be frustration seeing that out there, but thus far there haven't been.
I do want to talk about Pat Surtain. He's been incredible this year. He's a stud. What have you kind of seen from him this season that makes him so good?
Well, he's just a great athlete with great size and great instincts, and obviously his dad, and Chiefs fans are going to be very familiar with his dad. He's just a guy who's been playing the corner position his whole life. He's got great instincts and great athleticism. And, he does well at baiting quarterbacks too. He kind of plays that trail technique, and then he turns on the jets and he'll come around and get the PBU or try to get the interception, that kind of stuff. I think he's a top 10 corner in the league. I absolutely do. He's had a couple of rough weeks the last 2 weeks. I think part of that is the fact that he's had to do so much with Ron Darby out and Kaywan Williams out, a lot of the other injuries that they've had. And then injuries to the pass rush as well, where the Broncos just aren't getting pressure, so he's got to cover longer. But, you know, I do believe he's a top 10 corner in this league. I think he's fantastic. And, you know, he's a good dude, too, on top of it. So when you pair those things up, he's an easy guy to root for. There's some animosity in the fan base because there's some fans out here that would have rather them taking Justin Fields. But and I don't understand that at all. Justin Fields, in this stretch that he's been on, that everybody's touting him as the next guy, he's 0-5 with 3 game losing interceptions, still leads the league interception percentage and sack percentage. He's just running the football finally. That's the only thing that's changed. He started running the football and then he got hurt. So, and I think that there's always, a grass is greener approach when there was a quarterback in play. But in terms of Sertan, yeah, I think he's a top 10 corner. I think the Broncos made the right call.
And I do want to talk about the Bradley Chubb trade too, because I think, especially for me, it kind of came as a surprise with the defense. I don't know about what was the mood around Denver once that trade did come down?
We knew it was coming. It was one of those things where they couldn't pay everybody. And since they paid Russ and sent the draft picks, they needed to recoup some of the picks and all that kind of stuff. And Randy Gregory, they'd already paid. They drafted Nick Benito. They converted Baron Browning, all those kinds of things. So they had bodies there that they were kind of preparing for that eventuality, knowing what Chubb was going to get paid. It didn't go well in the locker room because Chubb was very well liked. Draymond Jones, one of his better friends, they haven't worked out a deal yet to get him extended. And that's one of those things that may come back to bite the Broncos a little bit if they don't get him extended because he holds a grudge because they got rid of his boy. And Chubb's, on top of that, Chubb's a good player. But he's been inconsistent. He's been hurt. The last two seasons, he really hasn't been much of a factor prior to this year. Is Malik Reed, an undrafted guy, led the team in sacks. They traded him away for next to nothing to the Steelers, this offseason. So, I think that I think it's something that hurt, it stung, especially inside the locker room. But it wasn't too surprising here locally, as we kind of knew that George Payton knew he needed draft picks back after the Russ trade.
And that defensive line is seemingly getting after the quarterback. As you mentioned, they've had some struggles in the last few games, but the Chiefs' offensive line isn't fully healthy. And they struggled with the Cincinnati Bengals defensive line. If there is a guy on this this Broncos defensive line that could kind of cause problems for the Chiefs, who do you think it is?
Well, Draymond Jones feasts on guys that aren't very good. His sacks come in bunches. You go back and look, he leads the team in sacks, but he had two against the Jets and their tackle situation. He had two, I think, against the Texans and their tackle situation, one against the Jags. He kind of feasts on guys that aren't very good. So if you've got somebody out there that's underprepared, he'll eat you up. I think Baron Browning's the guy you really got to watch out for. Baron's the better athlete on the other side. And, as far in terms of pressures and everything else, he's kind of been the guy. Nick Benito is a pass rushing specialist and he'll get home every now and again, but he's really, not in as often because he doesn't set the edge well in the run game. Jonathan Cooper showed up the last couple of weeks. It'll be interesting to see if he can continue his run as well. Those are the guys you got to watch out for. DJ Jones, a run stuff guy. Deshaun Williams, that's a run stuff guy. Mike Purcell, those are all run stuff guys. So they don't generally get to the quarterback very often. If they do, that would be a surprise.
You're listening to the fastest growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.
Talking about Benjamin Albright here on KCSN Update. Ben, again, thanks for joining us. I want to flip to the offensive side of the ball for the Broncos. It's been an incredibly disappointing season on that side of the ball, starting off obviously with the Tim Patrick injury in the preseason. How much do you really think that set that offense behind the eight ball?
I can set it back a lot. You know, Tim Patrick is the surest hands on the team. He's a leader in that locker room. He's a guy everybody looks up to because of his story, where he's overcome so much injuries and not being drafted as high as he should have and all that kind of stuff, and switching teams, you know, getting cut to come out and make himself a nice player in this league. And so it hurt a lot. He was one of Russ's big time targets during training camp. They wanted to run an offense that had Sutton and Patrick on the outside, Jerry Jeudy running out of the slot. And then Jeudy had to take over Patrick's role on the outside. It's just not been the same. So, you know, I think it was a big thing. I think the combination of the offensive line not being what they thought it was, and then Tim Patrick being hurt, I think that set this offense back quite a bit from what it was intended to be.
You know, you mentioned the offensive line too. Garrett Bowles had a season-ending injury as well. That's huge in terms of the offense. And especially, I sometimes think when people in August and in September are talking about these teams, even July, you kind of forget the learning curve that could happen with, you know, Nate Hackett coming in, bringing in his own offense, Russ coming in from a different system. I think we saw some of that, those growing pains early on. But if you could put your finger on one thing, what do you think the one thing specifically has been for this Broncos offense? It's kind of been the Achilles heel.
Well, I that's the thing. That's the problem. I don't think it's been one thing. I think that's the frustration in Denver, because it's been everything. The protection hasn't been up to par. Receivers haven't gotten open. When they do get open, they drop the football. Running backs have fumbled the football. Running backs went down due to injury. Offensive linemen went down due to injury. You got quarterback not seeing guys open over the middle, not hitting guys. The mishmash of the Nathaniel Wilson offense has been an abject disaster. Running long, developing concepts for a quarterback that doesn't have the protection to execute them anymore. It's just a ton of things. I think that in the end, the idea, if you're going to pinpoint it to one thing, I think the idea that you were going to somehow combine what Russ and Hackett do and make something successful out of it was the mistake. I think you just needed to say, this is what Russ does. This is what Russ does well. We're going to maximize that and go with that and forget the rest of it. I think that should have been the philosophy and the plan from the beginning. It wasn't. And so here we are.
Yeah, and you know, you talked about the running backs with Melvin Gordon's fumbling issues. Melvin Gordon now on the Chiefs practice squad. How frustrating has that kind of been too, with kind of a lack of a run game, or when there's a run game going, there's fumbles, there's turnovers. And I know that, you know, we can talk about the passing game, we can talk about Russ, but I think that equally so, the running game hasn't been up to snuff.
Well, yeah, that's exactly it. And Nathaniel Hackett's offense is predicated on the run game being that. I mean, he was number one in the NFL in Jacksonville and in Buffalo in rushing attempts his first two seasons there as play callers there, as offensive coordinator for the Bills and the Jaguars. So the key tenet which that offense runs on, and the key tenet on which Russ builds off play action, have not existed here. Melvin Gordon was doing okay, and Javonte was doing okay, but Javonte got hurt. Melvin couldn't stop fumbling. It got even worse this year, and it's big moment fumbles. You know, it's always big moment fumbles. Game on the line type stuff. You know, the Raiders game, the Raiders wouldn't have won that game if he hadn't fumbled. You go back to last year, that Chiefs game, the Broncos would have got off the schneid in Denver if Nick Bolton hadn't come free. And I don't blame Melvin for that one as much as some of the fans around here do. But in the end, when you have a consistent pattern of big time fumbling, big moment fumbling, you're going to get blamed for it. So I think it's a frustration. The fans never really warmed to Melvin Gordon here. At first, he was the guy that was taking carries from Phil Lindsay. Then he was the guy who was taking carries from Javonte Williams. And so they just never warmed to him here. And it's one of those things. Melvin's a great situational runner. I mean, in terms of short yardage and stuff like that, he always gets yardage. The problem is just a fumble. So if somebody could coach that out of him, he could still have. And by the way, he was out averaging Javonte Williams this year yards per touch. Javonte was I forget what Javonte's yards per touch was, but Melvin was 4.7. He was outpacing him in yards per touch because he catches the ball well out of the backfield. He pass throws well. So you know, Melvin's still redeemable as a running back in his league. Now he's washed. He just can't stop fumbling. So yes, huge frustration in Broncos country that he couldn't stop fumbling. And, you know, now they just use Latavius Murray, who's a glorified short yardage back, out there as much as they can, trying to get something going.
I know a lot of the conversation in Kansas City is about the Russ trade, obviously, going into this matchup. First time the Chiefs will see Russell Wilson with the Broncos, and kind of how seemingly, now this might seem a little prisoner of the moment, but seeming how bad that was for the Broncos and the extension as well, looking like Russ all of a sudden can't play football. Are people still, I know this is an age where people aren't very patient, but how are, Broncos fans trying to be patient with Nate Hackett? I've seen you respond to people on Twitter saying they should bring in Pete Carroll. And it seems like people just want to fire sale everybody right now. Do you think that that's warranted? Do you think there should be some patience? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think there should be patience. I think the problem in Broncos country is a lot of these fans are spoiled. You know, they've grown up in the Elway and Manning eras where they barely ever had any losing seasons. They always had great quarterback play, barely ever had losing seasons, usually had the best quarterback in the division. And, they got spoiled on it. I think they're kind of figuring out what it is that, that other teams go through now when they're struggling to identify the quarterback position, do all these things. So do I think patience is warranted? Absolutely. The problem here is I think that the worst thing that ever happened to Nathaniel Hackett was they got Russell Wilson. And instead of being a coach that was learning on the job the first time and going to get his opportunity to make mistakes, when you're in a window when you get a Russell Wilson. And so that opportunity was not going to be there. And so at the end of the day, I think that ultimately is going to lead to Hackett's ouster at the end of the season. And I'm not a big fan of firing coaches after 1 year, but I kind of understand it, you know, in this scenario. I don't think that I think the Hackett hire probably wasn't the one they should have made. You know, the three finalists for the job were Kevin O'Connell, Dan Quinn, and Nathaniel Hackett. And Nathaniel Hackett put on a great presentation, talked about things that, you know, guys don't talk about. We're going to have coach for the coaches. We're going to have a softer preseason so the guys' bodies will be ready for the season. That all sounds great, right? And Nathaniel Hackett put on a great presentation. But the question at the end of the day was, can he coach? And we get into the season and we found that the things that he does are often too late, you know, too little too late. And that's sort of, that's sort of been the problem or been the issue, he does come to the realizations he needs to, but far too late for them to matter. And it's going to cost him at the end of the year.
Interesting. So that's one thing that I did want to ask you about was kind of his coaching future in Denver. I know that I'm with you. I'm not a huge fan of firing a coach after 1 year, but you do think that the whole Russ experiment, this whole first year is enough to blow it all up with him and bring in a new staff.
Well, you've committed to Russell Wilson. You've committed $250 million to Russell Wilson, $250 right. million. He's not going anywhere until 2025. You can post June and want him after 2024, but at the end of the day, you're stuck with that. So you might as well try to maximize it. And this isn't maximizing it. And this coaching staff hasn't shown a willingness or ability to do that. So, you kind of have to move on in this case. And I hate it because I've always said if you're not going to commit to a coach for 3 years, why are you hiring him to begin with?
Right.
But this situation, like you just can't do it. Are you just gonna flounder in front of the fans for 3 years, be miserable, have your fan base be miserable? Your brand new ownership is gonna get a reputation that they don't care. You know, that kind of stuff. So I kind of think you have to move on. And I say that because I like Nathaniel Hackett. He wasn't my preferred candidate. I wanted Dan Quinn, and they might actually make that move, but. I getting to meet Hackett and talk to him. God, he's so easy to root for. He's just such a nice guy. He's so easy to root for. But at the end of the day, man, if you're not getting it done, the fans are fickle. They'll turn on you.
They will for sure. We know that in Kansas City too, especially. So, Ben, I appreciate you hopping on with me, talking about this game. Before I let you go, I want to get your predictions on this game, your thoughts on this matchup. As you mentioned, Chiefs have won 13 straight. Do you think the streak stops? Do you think that streak ends in Denver this weekend?
Man, I mean, I hope it does just for Broncos fans' sake. You know, I mean, Kansas City's going to be in the playoffs, probably the Super Bowl, at least the AFC Championship. And they're going to be they'll beat up on the Broncos in Kansas City. But I kind of hope for the Broncos' sake that they just get that out of the way. You know, get a win. It's kind of a meaningless win in the grand scheme of things, but it would mean so much to the fan base here at home to have something to kind of like have some optimism for next year. So I hope it happens. But at the same time, I'm not predicting it. I think Kansas Kansas City's too tough. I think Andy Reid's too tough. I think you're looking at something like a 24-14 game, 24-17 maybe, optimistically for the Broncos, 24-10 realistically. I don't think the Chiefs are going to score as much as everybody thinks because Denver's defense is that good. But at the same token, if the Broncos can't get any semblance of life on offense, Kansas City will wear you down, and they've got too many weapons to stop. They're going to get theirs.
I'm interested too. I just thought about this while you were talking. Do you think beating Kansas City would save Hackett's job at all if he does is the coach to end the streak at all?
I don't think so. I think he'd have to win out, and even then, I still think that there would be a conversation. Even if he swept Kansas City, I'm not sure that would be enough. Just at this point, it's a lot of too little, too late, and the ownership is very, very frustrated with his glacier-like pace in changing things.
I know that was a conversation around Vic Fangio when he was fired, is that he couldn't beat Kansas City. That was kind of the big reason that they moved on from him and made that move. So, Ben, I appreciate you hopping on with me talking about this game. Did we not hit anything? Is there something you want to hit on before we get out of here?
I think we're good, man. Tell my boy BJ I said hello. I hadn't seen him in a little while, so tell him I said hey. But no, it's always good coming on with you guys. Always love coming on with you guys, and I hope to see a good football game this Sunday.
Absolutely. Well, the Chiefs will play the Broncos again, so maybe we'll talk to you again in a few weeks here to talk about the rematch, the second meeting of just what is very weird, weird scheduling, in my opinion, for this game to happen so late in the season and both of them to happen very close to each other. It's like the Commanders play I believe they play the Giants. They had a bye week, and then they play the Giants again. Just very weird scheduling on the NFL's part, but listen, it's not a job that I envy at all. Is the NFL scheduling department. But Ben, let the people know where they can find your work at.
You can unfollow me on Twitter at Albright NFL, the dumpster fire. I wouldn't follow me. Obviously the iHeartRadio app, you can listen to KOA, and you can listen to Broncos Country Tonight. It's called Broncos Country Tonight, but we really talk about the whole league. So there's stuff in there for Chiefs fans, obviously, as well. We try to have fun on there and talk football, for everybody. So you can hear all of it there.
All right, Ben, appreciate it. We will see you guys next time. BJ will be back tomorrow with BFF's Trevor Sikkema to get his three key matchups from the game. So until then, I'll talk to you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard and think others would as well. You can find all six of our channels at KCSN, covering the Chiefs, the Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current. Plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.